the 4% rule, and the three-legged stool. Back in the day, those simple strategies did the trick in retirement. But we're not living back in the day. This is 2021, and the problems facing today's retirees demand modern solutions. That's why you're here. Welcome to Modern Money with founder and CEO of PCB Financial Advisory Group, Peter Bombera.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on back into the program. You are listening to Modern Money with Peter Bombera with the PCB Financial Group. I am your host, Dana Wright. And as always, welcome in. Peter, it is always good to have you, especially right now during a time of uncertainty. I think some people would say a scary time. We were just talking about this off the air. It's certainly an interesting time, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of things happening in the world, a lot of changes. And to be honest with you, as I listen to economists, they're even telling us that what we're going through right now, people are not used to. People are not used to. They're forgetting that we can have major, major volatility in the markets. But we're in a brand new cycle, and this is what's going to be with us for a while.
We're in the down cycle. We've got ups in life and we got downs in life. And right now, economically, we're in the down. So the United States recession risk right now is high. That's not going to come as a surprise to anyone. Moody's economists have warned this week that the risks aren't just high, they are, quote, awfully high. That is from Mark Zondi, who says, you know, we're going to be able to sneak through this. And the fundamental reason is the economy is on pretty good solid ground. Leverage is low. You don't see the kinds of imbalances in the economy typically prevailing as part of the recession. But with rates rising, he says, inflation high, I think the recession risks are there and are high. Now, this next bit of information might surprise you. It says 81% of U.S. adults are worried about a recession hitting this year, according to one study. That only surprises me, Peter, because I thought the number would be higher. What are your clients saying about this?
You know, they're asking us a lot of questions, and we all make sure we communicate properly because we have to be aware of these things, right? So we see the odds are very high, all right? Is it guaranteed? No, absolutely not. Anything can change. But the odds are the highest it has ever been in decades. And this is why we do see signals. We see some small signals due to a possible recession, but we don't see the proof of the pudding just yet. And there's a bunch of different things that we have to look at in more detail, but we can only get a good idea as we get closer and closer and closer. Do we see it right now today? No, but do we possibly see more towards, let's say, the end of this year or going into next year? As of today, we see the odds are very high.
So a recent survey by CNBC shows that many Americans are worried the economy may swiftly decline once again. It is worth noting that a couple things. The last recorded recession wasn't that long ago. It took place in 2020 during, of course, all of the mass shutdowns and layoffs over COVID-19. Again, 81% of adults believe that this thing is going to hit in 2022. Republicans politically are more likely to think there will be a recession than their friends on the left side of the aisle. But I want to get back really quick to the last recorded recession, Peter, which was 2020. I don't want to use the word panic. We had a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of uncertainty that year. But do you think that was more pandemic-driven? We were in the middle of something no one had ever experienced in our lifetime before, and that was the pandemic. So not only, you know, we just hit the very sad benchmark of 1 million COVID deaths in the United States. I think people look back at 2020 and they think about a lot of things, but recession might not be one of them, because when we were in the middle of it, we had so many other factors surrounding us with the layoffs, the shutdowns, the pandemic. People were home. Kids were home from school. There were a lot of balls in the air, and I don't know that recession is top of mind for most Americans when you think about those dark days in 2020.
No, 100%, and I agree with you with that. And you have to understand this. The thoughts of a recession at that time, some probably were talking about or thinking about it, but that wasn't the case, right? It was more scarcity, right? Everyone was really more in the lines of petrified of what's actually happening. And don't forget, who in a million years would have said we would have a pandemic, which was over 100 years ago when the last pandemic actually occurred. So this is so important because you need to understand something. The markets right now, today, as we speak, are not the same markets as 2008, early 2000, and also 2020 pandemic time frame. The reason why I say this is because everyone's going back to 2020, and they're saying, oh, wow, the markets went up and went down a lot, and went up and went down, and came flying back. That's the problem. They're saying that it came flying back. One of the main reasons why it came flying back is because the amount of money we had to pour into the markets to help the economy, to help the markets come back up and survive it and inflate it, right? So this is a very different time. This is a very different picture. We're still technically climbing out of the pandemic, right? COVID is obviously still here, but it's not as serious, thank God. But it's so important to understand that what we're in right now is very different than 2020, very different than 2008. And to be honest with you, if you look at the measures of the volatility of the ups and downs, it's technically worse than 2008. So we're going to be in this for a while. And I think that we're still kind of in the early stages of it. Okay, even though we're halfway through, we're still in the early stages of it. So tighten up your seatbelts because we're going for a wild ride.
So let's talk a little bit about correction versus recession versus a bear market and the differences. Sure. Because you're going to hear these terms thrown around a lot on the cable news cycle if you're a casual news viewer. It seems like the stock market's only been moving in one direction in 2020, down. And the current economic conditions mean there are headlines everywhere talking about things like corrections, recessions, and the bear market. So help us break down what those terms mean. First, what is a correction, Peter?
Yeah, so a correction, this mainly occurs when the markets decline at least 10% from its peak, right? It's high, but not more than 20%. And to be honest with you, we're seeing wild, wild swings. You know, we hit 10% pretty quick this year already. And then we're, based upon what indices you're looking at, for example, on the NASDAQ side, we're past that 20% scenario, that 20% correction. So we're seeing major fluctuations on the left and on the right, on the ups and the downs. There is not going to be any kind of sideways trading here or consistency. But the only consistent methods that we're seeing are the ups and the downs and the large swings. That's a correction.
So that's a correction. A recession then is what?
This is a period of time when economic activity measures by GDP, okay? This declines for two consecutive quarters. This is the consistency as the markets continue to go down and down and down over two quarters. But a recession has different meanings depending upon who you ask. You can ask analysts, you can ask money managers and traders, you can ask economists. Everyone's going to look at this quite different. Now, when it comes to a recession coming out of recession, right, you're also going to get a number of different answers because it has to do with the consistency, but it also has to do with, you know, companies and the strength of some companies and the layoffs of some companies and people losing their jobs and the balance sheet. So there's so many different ways you can actually look at this and measure it.
Let's get to the bear market. What is it and why do we hate it?
Okay, so the bear market only happens when the markets actually decline 20% from its peak. So the average market, okay, the average bear market lasts approximately 9.6 months, so 9 to 10 months, give or take. Now, this could be different, all right, but since 1928, the S&P 500 actually experienced on average just about 26 bear markets since 1928. So I guess that number might possibly change after this year or possibly after next year.
Well, and there we go with the cycle again. It's happened 26 times since 1928. We might be heading for it now. That would be number 27. But like all things cyclical, we will come out of it. Let's talk about some of the good news, Peter. Memorial Day travel reservations are up 122% over the last year as travel rebounds. Not a huge surprise there because we were coming out of the height of the pandemic in 2020, 2021. But let's look at some of the statistics from AAA and the good news when it comes to Americans spending their money. Goodness knows most of our listeners need a break. AAA travel booking data indicates reservations for flights, rental cars, cruises, and hotels are up 122% over last year. Pre-pandemic travel, by the way, generated $2.6 trillion in economic output. It supported 17 million jobs, and it delivered a $51 billion trade surplus to the United States. So travel is a lot more than your rest and relaxation. It is big business in the United States that helps the economy go. And another AAA survey found one-third of U.S. travelers are now more likely, when they're spending all of that dough for travel, to purchase travel insurance for upcoming trips. And we're going to get into that a little bit later because there are some pitfalls you need to be aware about travel insurance. But one of the things I think this shows, Peter, is that this is not your typical recession. Because we are coming out of the pandemic, people, yes, are worried about a possible recession. They're worried about higher prices. But because we're coming off of this historically bizarre couple of years, they're also wanting to go out and spend money and travel. It's an odd juxtaposition, is it not?
It's 100%. And this is why when you can ask different professionals on this, they all have different opinions. But this is one indicator that's telling us, no, we're not going to go into a recession. People are spending money like they haven't before. They're traveling. You know, they want to do the things that they want to do. They want to get their lives back. So this would be a signal of absolutely not. There's no recession ahead. And then you start looking at other data and you start looking at the market and you're saying, wait a minute, it could be. So it's like what kind of a balance are we looking at here?
Right.
But you're absolutely correct. And believe it or not, Dana, as we talk about this, this is actually one industry that is booming when you talk to travel experts, these agents that are guiding you. Because think about it. Now, more than ever, people are curious as to, okay, insurance is important. That's one thing. But how about you want to find out more information of wherever you travel? What is the situation when it comes to testing? Do you have to get tested beforehand? What resorts are allowing testing on site? Are they going to provide it? Who's not going to provide it? How many days, 24 hours on average, you test yourself a day before? Okay, where do you go? So now all of these questions are becoming popular to ask the experts, which are the travel agents, and they're telling me that their business is booming.
Because they'll take care of all of that stuff. You don't have to worry about it, right?
You don't have to worry about it.
So we can't put the next recession on the calendar, Peter. No one knows when it's going to happen, how long it might last. But for all of our listeners today, putting a plan in place today that can help you make sure your savings will last is so very important. We want to remind everyone listening, you can call 1-800-880-8079 for a complimentary copy of Peter's book, Modern Money, Retirement, and Any Economy. And remind people the website, Peter.
PCBfinancial.com. Check it out. There's great information on there. If you have questions, definitely call in. But do not forget, we're in a brand new cycle, and this cycle actually changed about 10 months ago. And our job is as professionals to make sure we are active upon this news, active upon changes. And do not forget, what has worked the past 14 years is not working for a while. And we'll tell you more why as soon as we talk.
No cost, no obligation. Give us a call, 800-880-8079. You are listening to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. Back with some more straight ahead.
The way you take your Social Security can dramatically alter the course of your retirement. To make sure you are optimizing your Social Security, download Peter's free Social Security report at themodernmoneyshow.com. That's themodernmoneyshow.com.
When you have errands to run, do you like to run all over town, or do you try and make as few stops as possible? It's nice when you can get everything in one place, isn't it? Peter Bambara from PCB Financial believes the same is true for retirement planning. You shouldn't have to go one place for tax planning, another for estate planning, and another for retirement income planning. That's why PCB Financial was started. Peter wanted to build a company that could help families with all aspects of their retirement planning. PCB Financial is more than just convenient, they're knowledgeable and experienced. To set up a meeting with Peter Bambara and his team to talk about your retirement, call 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079. one stop for a wealth of retirement solutions. PCB Financial, 1-800-880-8079. Firm offers insurance services but does not provide tax or legal advice. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
All right, welcome back to Modern Money with Peter Bombara, president of PCB Financial Advisory Group. The phone number is 1-800-880-8079, 1-800-880-8079. We're going to talk a little bit this segment about something called protected income as we weather the storm of a possible recession, certainly of the inflation that we are all living through right now. It is harder to make your money last. It is harder to make that money stretch, even at the grocery store, at the gas pump. We've talked about that over the last several weeks, Peter. Let's talk about protected income as it relates to retirement planning. So the number of protected households in the United States is on the rise. That's according to the Alliance for Lifetime Income's Protected Lifetime Income Study. What is protected income and what are protected households?
So there's a number of things that we can look at here. So first off, when it comes to protected income, so what they're really meaning on a general standard is you have to look at your plan, right? So if you're retired, you have to look at your plan. You have to say to yourself, out of this portfolio, what is actually coming in that's protected, right? So protected examples. So we can look at this as, let's say, Social Security, right? So that's a source of protected income. So as of right now today, we know that income's going to come in like clockwork. We know it's going to come in every single month, pretty much for the rest of your life, and as we hope, right? That's a source of protected income, whether it's first for you or it's for you and your spouse. So that's something you can rely on. Another source of income can be, for the lucky few, let's say you have a pension. Now, a lot of companies are getting rid of the pension, the pensions in their systems now because a new generation are not funding it, right?
Right.
So, if you're the lucky few who does have a pension, that's a source of income that's also protected. Now, this is really important, what I'm about to explain. When it comes to your additional cash flow, let's say, for example, you're bringing in X amount of dollars, and now you have a gap of a loss of income because your expenses are higher than your protected income sources. So let's say you get a fine $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 more, and now you're dipping into your, let's say, investments or your savings, right, to bring in the money for additional income every month. It's so important to understand that you're putting yourself, your portfolio at risk if you're taking out too much money from your portfolio, especially if he has too much risk. Like what we're going through right now, there's a lot of volatility in the markets, right? So as the markets go up, great, it's in your favor. But as the markets go down, we don't know how long the markets will go down for. So when you're taking money out of your portfolio, as the market's going down, 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 and down, what we call this is reverse dollar cost average. So a lot of folks, Dana, are used to putting money into their portfolio and not touching it and not using it. Right. But in retirement, you're usually doing the opposite, especially taking out required minimum distributions. So now you're taking money out of your portfolio instead of in. And as the markets go down, that's not going to be a good strategy.
So this is a little scary and a little surprising to me. When we talk about protected income, 40% of households have it, which means 60% of households do not. Talk about, Peter, what challenges those households might be facing if your retirement income is maybe money instead of protected income.
When it comes to those who don't have, let's say, a protected income source in play, or they're so used to the markets, I tend to find a lot of people leave work and they usually leave their, let's say, 401ks behind or 457s behind. And then this is so important, Dana. This is so important that the audience understands how this works. And I'll keep this very simple. The 401ks you have at work, 457, 403bs, or 401as, whatever you want to call it, those are great instruments, right? They're great instruments to get you to retirement. So we call this the accumulation phase. You're accumulating your money, you're saving your money, you're growing your money. There's not really so much of a plan, right? You have one thing to focus on here is to contribute and just grow your account. That's it. It's very simple. There's no special way around it. Now, there's not many people that you hear saying, okay, this accumulation stage is great for these 401ks, let's say, for retirement plans. They're great to get you to retirement, but no one really ever said it's a great vehicle to get you through retirement. It's a very different picture now. It's a very different animal because now you graduate accumulation stage and now you're going to jump into what's called a preservation stage. And it's two totally different stages. So this is how you pretty much say to yourself, how does this actually make sense? It's very simple. Ask yourself this question. Do you invest the same way as if you're working and retirement? That's it. If you say yes, then continue to do what you're doing on accumulation side. But if you and I both agree that you do not invest the same way in retirement as if you are working based upon risk, then this will make a lot of sense.
So the Alliance for Lifetime Income's Protected Lifetime Income Study shows the number of households that have a source of protected income, like a pension or annuity, is on the rise, right? However, the study also shows this. Only about one-third of pre-retirees have calculated their monthly expenses and financial needs in retirement. And right now, that number is going to be very different, Peter, with inflation, as you know. Many people are overestimating what their retirement savings will cover. That also goes back to inflation. And 3 out of 4 Americans still don't have a specific financial plan. So let's start with why it's important to figure out your monthly expenses before you retire. And Peter, how you help your clients do that. This is budgeting 101, but I think it's harder, more complicated, and a lot different when you're talking about retirement.
Believe it or not, it's funny how you just brought that up. I want to say realistically, I want to say maybe 1 out of 10 people that I sit with, new people, new individuals, new families, 1 out of 10 actually, that one person actually has done this before. So that means 9 people have never done this before because they're either one, scared to see what they actually spend.
Right.
They're nervous to even understand how that even what that even looks like on paper. So what we do is we give them what's called a budget form. It's very simple. And all we want to know is track over a 3 to 6 month period. Let's see what this looks like now. And then in 6 months from now, we'll come back to it and see if you're very close and accurate to those expenses. So we go over these things because at the end of the day, this is called reverse engineering. We have to plan for income, right? We have to understand where your expenses are today. We want to add a couple of extra dollars because the first decade of retirement is usually the most
active.
So
yeah.
You're spending a lot more money. So we're adding a couple of bucks to that over a year. But it's so important to understand what does it look like right now today. We always add inflation to the numbers. We always add extra miscellaneous dollars to the numbers. And then we have to go back and say, okay, how much income's coming from your pension if you have one? How much income's coming from your annuity, your protected sources, your Social Security? And what is that gap and how do we fulfill it? And how much money do you actually need to bring in from that gap? So it's really important to understand that this budget form, this experience, the expense analysis we go through with you, it's so important to get you to and through retirement successfully.
Peter, what are some of the expenses, the most common expenses people underestimate or forget altogether when you're sitting down and you're talking with folks? What are some of the big underestimations? It's easy to go back 3 months and figure out what you're spending on eating out. You know, let's talk about restaurant expenses. It's easy to go back and say, okay, look, we should probably cut back on eating out and cook more at home. What are some of the underestimated expenses that people come when they sit down and go over what they think their retirement plan is going to look like? And you say, well, don't forget ... this.
It's either lifestyle, which is like hobbies, and travel.
Yeah.
Travel is the one that people think, oh, let's throw, you know, extra $5,000 in there or extra $10,000 in there. Believe it or not, I hear people saying that, okay, well, we actually have this bucket list and we always wanted to do the cruise to here and there and then back. But wait a minute, that's going to cost $10,000. But wait a minute, 6 months later, we always wanted to travel across the country as long as it's okay due to COVID and so on and so forth. But this is what we're hearing, right? So adding an extra $5,000 for travel expenses, I'm sorry, I don't want to be that person, but it's just not going to do it. It's not going to be enough, especially if you have a bucket list, and especially if you're going to go into some kind of new hobby you always wanted to go in. Hobbies are expensive for some, depending on what kind of hobby it is. So all these things add up.
If you want to do car restoration or something, that's expensive. Like, we're not talking about necessarily, you know, needlepoint. The other one I wanted to ask you about is healthcare costs, because if you have a job like I do, where you have been used to your whole life, your employer covering all of your healthcare costs or subsidizing an enormous amount of your healthcare costs, I feel like that's another one people, I read somewhere the amount of subsidies you lose when you retire on average is $5,300. And so, you know, if you own your own business, like my dad was an independent contractor, you're already used to digging into your pocket and covering those expenses. But if you've had an employer cover those, I think people are in for it's a shocking amount of money if you're used to someone else carrying that load. And then all of a sudden you have to care for that. And you're getting older. And I mean, I'm here to tell you, as I'm getting older, some of the wheels are falling off. You know, your healthcare becomes more expensive.
100%. Healthcare is very, very expensive, believe it or not. But so this is something that has to actually be included within a plan. And when we're talking about healthcare costs, this is also separate from long-term care. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
These are two different animals here. So according to HealthView Services Financial, they're saying on average, a healthy 65-year-old couple retiring can expect to spend just about $400,000 of the retirement funds on healthcare cost alone.
Wow.
Not counting long-term care. Now, we hope everyone's going to be healthy, you know, and this is why we tend to see and hear people saying, oh, we're doing some activities every once in a while by myself or me and my spouse. They walk almost every single day, you know, they're riding their bicycle, they're going to the gym. And believe it or not, Dana, I go to the gym a couple of times a week, and when I go to the gym, I do look around, and I do see a lot of folks, you know, who are retired at the gym, which is really good, you know, which is really good. And we're seeing a lot of that more often, but that's also very healthy for you. So even though that's happening, don't think that there can't be any kind of health issues, as we hope
Peter,
there is.
Ask anyone listening in their 60s that took up pickleball. The orthopedic surgeons are making a mint right now because all of my friends who think we're going to go out and take up pickleball end up with compound fractures. They end up with busted knees. I've got a girlfriend with two busted wrists right now. They said, you're not going to play golf for a year. Stop with the pickleball, people. Everyone's out there thinking they're Venus Williams. And I had a friend who's an orthopedic surgeon says business is good.
Yeah, sure.
Number 1-800-880-8079, 1-800-880-8079 for a complimentary copy of Peter's book. You can leave us a message. We do mailbag questions at the end of the show. We might tackle your question on this very program. So leave us a message at that number. And the website, as always, pcbfinancial.com, pcbfinancial for everything Peter Bambara. You are listening to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. We're back with much more straight ahead.
The check engine light is on in Washington, but politicians keep driving the car as if nothing is happening. There it is again. It's Social Security. A new government report says the Social Security Trust Fund could run out by the year 2035. If that happens, it could cause all beneficiaries to take a 20% cut to their benefits. What does that mean for you? When should you start taking benefits? When should your spouse? And how can you get every dollar of Social Security you're entitled to? Learn more about your options by setting up a visit with Peter Bambara at PCB Financial. Peter can help you get the most out of your Social Security benefits. Call now, 1-800-880-8079. To set up your visit with Peter Bambara, 1-800-880-8079. Find out how to get every dollar of Social Security you're entitled to. That's 1-800-880-8079. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC.
We all love Uncle Sam, but let's face it, he's not really your uncle. To make sure you aren't paying more than your fair share in taxes, download Peter's free tax guide at themodernmoneyshow.com. That's themodernmoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Modern Money with Peter Bambara, the president of PCB Financial Advisory Group. I'm your host, Dana Wright. A quick reminder, the phone number, if you want to get in, you want to ask a question, you want us to leave us a message, that number is 1-800-880-8079, 1-800-880-8079. And we will send you out a complimentary copy of Peter's book, Modern Money, Retirement in Any Economy. And I always laugh. I think, Peter, you writing addendums as we speak, because any economy was very different 3 years ago than it was 2 years ago, last year, and certainly now. You are a busy man, my friend.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the different types of savings out there. A lot of people, when we have listeners call in, have questions about the 401k versus the IRA. What to do with it? Should we convert it? Which one is better than the other? We know that millions of Americans' money is tied up in something like a traditional IRA. In fact, the total value of all of those IRA accounts in 2020 was a staggering $19 trillion. So wow. That's good, right? That means a lot of people are building up their savings in some type of retirement account. I want you to help guide our listeners, Peter, through the difference between the two.
Absolutely. So when you're planning for retirement income, let's say, that you cannot live, you can't forget about taxes. I mean, how much you will owe in taxes during retirement, right? So this is going to depend on the combination of how your income is generated and the dollar amount of your income, all right? So there's a couple of different things to look at here. We have a pre-tax retirement account, all right? So some of the most common pre-tax accounts are 401ks, traditional IRAs, 403bs, 457s, and so on. So generally, savers were given a tax deduction when they made a contribution, and they will owe taxes when they take withdrawals from pre-tax retirement accounts. Now, post-tax retirement accounts, these could be Roth IRAs, right? So you can take tax-free income from a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k, which is really nice. Now, unlike a traditional IRA, you won't get a tax deduction from your contributions to a Roth account, but your growth and your withdrawals are tax-free in retirement, such as tax-free income. But also, if you do not need that money in that tax-free account, your beneficiaries will receive a nice tax-free inheritance.
So with the 401k or the IRA, there are all of these rules about when you start taking the money out. And we hope that you wait until after you are retired to do so, because it can be a disaster if you take it early. What do you tell your clients about when to take the required minimum distributions? That there are certain points in your retirement life that the government says, hey, it's time, you got to take it out.
Absolutely. So everybody knows that it used to be 70 and a half. It is now 72 as part of the SECURE Act. And believe it or not, they're looking to change that. But let's just focus on the current rule, which is 72. Mm. So required minimum distributions have to come from a retirement account. It does not have to come from a Roth IRA. But everything else, yes, it has to come from 401ks, 403bs, 457s, and so on and so forth. All of these accounts you never pay taxes on. So any kind of money comes out, you're going to have to pay some taxes on. So when it comes to RMDs, though, required minimum distributions, it's required for you to take the money out. So every year you're going to letter in the mail. If not, you communicate with your professional, and they give you it based upon the percentage and based upon the value of the previous year, and of course your age. So all of these things change. Now, there's a number of things that you can do to plan for, and you want to try to do this before 72 to help you lower your future taxable income, because this will be very healthy and very, very useful to help you lower your additional taxes based upon your Social Security tax as well. But this is a really, really good area that you should be focusing on between ages 59 and a half and 72. Those are your golden years to make sure you start doing some kind of possible conversion or proper communication with your qualified plans.
Yes, qualified plans, qualified planner, and even a tax planner if you can find one, because there are so many rules about this, Peter, and there are so many penalties if you do it wrong. It turns out even death isn't an excuse to skip an RMD. And remember, the R in RMD is required. Required minimum distribution. Even death doesn't get you out of it if you inherit an IRA from a non-spouse. It is up to you to make sure the full RMD has been taken out by December 31st of the year that the death occurs. How many people listening are going to know that, Peter?
Yeah, and this is really important. While you should be talking to a qualified advisor and proper communication with an accountant,
yes,
and making sure everybody's on board together.
Because there are also tax implications, I'm guessing, for those who inherit. If you inherit an IRA from a non-spouse, you become the beneficiary. You're not the owner. You're the beneficiary, not the owner. A spouse who inherits the IRA can become an owner if you choose to treat the IRA as your own. That is not true when we're talking about a non-spouse. When an IRA owner dies before withdrawing 100% of the RMD, the beneficiary, again, has to make sure that remaining balance is withdrawn before December 31st. And it doesn't matter when the calendar year death occurs, by the way. The RMD applies for the years in which the IRA owner dies, as if that owner lived for the entire year. So this is one of the things we want to impress upon our listeners. We could say this every single show. This is from Forbes, that required minimum distributions can trigger the highest penalty in the tax code if you don't follow the rules. I'm going to say that again. Required minimum distributions can trigger the highest penalty in the tax code if you don't follow the rules. No one wants that. No one wants the steep penalties, the potentially higher taxes, swiping away at your retirement savings.
Sure.
What do you tell your clients to do? The mistakes and the pitfalls can be huge here, Peter.
Very big. This is not something you want to neglect. So if you were to make a mistake with your required minimum distributions because you felt that it was taken care of, or you're going to worry about it down the road, end of the year, or right before the deadline, that's not something you want to do, okay? So believe it or not, penalties can be high as 50% of the amount that you should have taken out, in addition, of course, to income taxes on the distribution. So you have to remember something. Uncle Sam, the goal here for Uncle Sam is for you to pretty much liquidate your IRA, your 401ks, your 403bs, 457s, your retirement plans as fast as possible over the years. Because remember, it was a nice tax deduction when you were working.
Right.
It was all deferred. You didn't have to pay taxes while you were working. And now Uncle Sam says, okay, time's up. I want to get my fair share.
Right.
And my taxes being paid. And that's the goal for Uncle Sam. So there's a number of things that you can do to help lower that. Give us a call at 1-800-880-8079. We could talk about what kind of planning process needs to be put in place. But this is so important to make sure this is not neglected, because a 50% penalty, I don't think it's fair, but I don't make the rules.
Whew. You also need to understand the timing, because here's a big one. It could potentially, if you are inheriting one of these things, push you into a much higher income tax bracket. This is like the gift that you might not want, Peter, because it could push you into a much higher income tax bracket. It could trigger higher taxes on Social Security benefits or cause a higher Medicare premium surtax.
Oh, yeah.
For listeners of today's show, it can be very, very complicated. That's why Peter's here. That's why he has his team to help you. 1-800-880-8079 is the number. 1-800-880-8079 or PCBfinancial.com. PCBfinancial.com. And whether it's an IRA or a 401k that you have for retirement, one thing is certain. You can't treat that thing like an ATM. We alluded to this earlier. I'm curious how many clients come in to speak to you, Peter, and they are knocking at the door of retirement and they are flirting with breaking those accounts down. How many times do you have to counsel someone against that decision?
Believe it or not, we talk about this a lot. And you know what we've been hearing lately? A lot of folks, and it's not just clients, it's new people, new families, new individuals, new couples. These people are coming in and they're saying, Peter, I need to understand my income planning better, my future income planning better. And it's not just for me, but it's also for my spouse, right? So what this really means is if you want to make sure that your income doesn't go over a certain level in the future, well, you have to make adjustments now, right, to make a better choice for your plan in the future. So what does that mean? Well, technically, and this is something that we can argue about, but technically, taxes today are still technically on sale. So what this means is, I was just talking to an accountant not too long ago, and the accountant was telling me that so many people are looking to do major amounts of lock-ins in their portfolios when it comes to growth, because they see where the markets are headed.
Right.
And these are accounts outside of IRAs, and they know that long-term capital gains tax is cheaper than short-term capital gains tax. So a lot of people are taking advantage of locking in and paying what their fair share is, so they're not losing it to the market, or they're also not giving it over to Uncle Sam, because we don't know if this tax code is going to be here for a very long time, because they want to make the major changes to it, especially when it comes to income. Because if we're looking to change income, especially to protect a spouse, you have to remember something. When someone passes away, you have two Social Security paychecks that you currently have, and then one disappears, and you keep the higher of the two. Well, you have that coming in, one disappears, then you're going to inherit a spouse's 401k or qualified retirement plan. Then it's your job to take out your spouse's required minimum distributions as well as yours. So the possibility of you now paying taxes at a higher rate or higher percentage, or paying more out of your savings, out of your pocket, the odds are it's very high, all because you're finally now single. Whereas if you file a joint, you get a nice little deduction because of a spouse. All of these things, these little pieces of the puzzle, it's so important to understand how these plannings work, not just now today, the what-if scenarios down in the future. And this is why proper communication with an advisor and your accountant, they have to be on the same game plan. They have to be on the same page. And this is how you understand your levels of success.
So now is the time. Set up that strategy session with Peter, with Peter's fantastic group, 1-800-880-8079, or hop on the web, PCB Financial, PCBfinancial.com. 1-800-880-8079. We're back with some of your questions straight ahead. You are listening to Modern Money with Peter Bambara.
People are living longer these days, and that's great, right? Well, of course, but living longer means more years in retirement. Will your money last as long as you do? To find out, get your free guide at themodernmoneyshow.com. That's themodernmoneyshow.com.
You walk into the room, it's dark, and then in an instant, the lights come on and you hear...
Surprise!
Some surprises are fun, but some aren't. Like when you're retired and you find out you owe more in taxes than you thought you would. Or worse, you have to go back to work to make ends meet. Are you prepared for a surprise change to your pension or 401k or IRA? Instead of guessing, call Peter Bambara at PCB Financial Advisory Group and schedule a retirement checkup. Peter and his team have been helping families deal with retirement surprises for more than 15 years. Peter Bambara is a local, independent financial advisor on a mission to help you reach your retirement goals. Call 800-880-8079 right now and schedule a visit for your retirement checkup with Peter Bambara at PCB Financial Advisory Group. 800-880-8079. Don't wait for a surprise. 800-880-8079. Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital LLC. Insurance products offered through PCB Financial Advisory Group LLC.
Welcome back to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. I'm your host, Dana Wright. Here is the phone number, because this is where we get our mailbag questions, and we would love to answer your questions on the program. 1-800-880-8079. You can also text book into the body of that text, 1-800-880-8079, and Peter will send you a complimentary copy of his book, Modern Money, Retirement in Any Economy. Again, that phone number is 1-800-880-8079 or pcbfinancial.com. There's a ton of great information on the website. Peter, are you ready for the mailbag?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Question number one. Here we go. Peter, I have been worried about what's going on with the markets, and I don't want to take any more big losses. How long should I be in cash before I try to get back into the markets? Ooh.
Great question. And I tell you what, if you know someone who has a perfect answer, I'm going to give you all my money as well. All right. So the good old saying is you cannot time the market. Now, if you are, of course, a professional trader on Wall Street and you know exactly how to outperform the markets, congratulations. But since you're asking the question to me, you and I both cannot time the market. So the question is really, I guess the answer is really more geared towards why are you thinking like that? Are you afraid that you're trying to get back into the market because you need extra income, or you're looking for a better rate of return in safer places, or you're just maybe not too happy with the portfolio in regards to how it's communicating with you and your needs? Well, it all comes down to a plan. If you have a proper plan in place, you do your best to trust the plan, because the plan is there to guide you through the ups and the downs and weather through all different kind of market conditions. So whatever the goal is in regards to bringing in more income or deferring, and you have long-term outlook for this money, if it's long-term, don't worry about it. If it's short-term, that's a different kind of approach. So we have to talk about this in more detail, but please do not ever try to time the market.
The number for that question and more, because that's a complicated one, is 1-800-880-8079. Mailbag question number two. I have worked at a hospital, Peter, almost 18 years. I was planning to work there for a full 20 before I retired, but now I'm thinking about retiring earlier than I had planned. Before I give my notice, how do I make sure I'm ready to retire? And that's a great question. And for all of our healthcare workers out there, Peter, boy, did we see this during the pandemic. Educators too, where people who had been in those jobs for decades were exhausted and started thinking, is now the time to get out?
We've been hearing a lot of this, actually. I'm on your side. I get it. You way overworked, and the experience that you went through, thank you for your service and what you have done. So the answer is this. We have to first understand what's in place. We have to understand the options of Social Security, possible pension options if you have one, healthcare benefits, right? So all of these things have to connect. We have to connect these dots. It's almost like the retirement puzzle. How do we put it together to make sure it makes sense? Then we have to go through not just your benefits and your options and all your income options. We have to go through your expenses together. We have to understand what your budget looks like. We have a practice sheet to go through this together with you. And then from there, we have to understand what investments you have in place and making sure you're not really relying a good majority of your income on your investments. Because you are, then we have to have a different conversation. If you're not, then you should be able to have some success on your end. But we have to do some kind of an analysis. We got to put some projections in place to help guide you with a better answer.
Yeah, you do not want to fly blind when it comes to when do I retire, and you know, then end up with the other question, which is, do I go back into the workforce because I don't have the money to cover what I thought it would have? And we've talked to people about that on this program as well. Mailbag question number three: we were not planning to retire for several more years, Peter, but we've had some health issues come up. Now my wife isn't healthy enough to work, and I think I need to stop working to maybe take care of her. What do we need to do before we decide for sure?
All right, so this is really important. First off, I mean, health. When it comes to health, this is serious, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you had all of these plans to do so many things in retirement. So it's really hard to answer this question without us actually having a one-on-one conversation. But my past experience is give it your all. Do whatever you possibly can to make time, because you cannot get time back.
Yeah.
To make time on your side to the best possible benefit that you can have. So I would go through all of your research. I would go through all of your investment accounts, your options, Social Security and not, when you should be taking it, especially if you see that major health issues, we take that as soon as possible. Don't leave anything on the table. But making sure you're both protected And this comes down to a lot more questions that we would have to ask one-on-one. But we have to understand what's available, what benefits are there, what's not there, and what those projections look like. And I'm with you. I would not wait a minute, get on top of this train as fast as possible, because once it comes, it's gone.
Yeah. Moving along. Peter, do I have to wait until age 70 to take Social Security? Why or why not?
You don't have to. It makes sense for folks full retirement age, FRA, and everyone's different based upon the date of birth. And then you have age 70, which is the last time that you can actually maximize it. So if you're able to wait till 70, great. That's good for you. It's going to be the highest possible Social Security paycheck you'll ever receive. You get a little bit of a haircut if you wait till 65 or 66. That's usually one of the most popular times to take it, but everyone's different. We have what's called a Social Security calculator. It helps you understand your options to maximize Social Security. So yes, of course, we want to maximize it, right? But we have to also have a nice conversation about longevity. Because if you say to me, Peter, I think I only have 10 years left. Well, we should be thinking about taking it much earlier than 70, because you want to get all your money out. You know, you want to get all your money out of the system, all the money you put in. So this is a very good, great question. For some, it makes sense. For others, it unfortunately does not.
One more question, Peter. You ready?
Yeah.
Peter, one of our kids had to move back in with us this year. So we have been supporting her financially. Our oldest then lost his job, so we helped him cover his mortgage for a few months until he was able to find work again. We are happy that we had the means to help them, but now we are wondering if we can still go ahead and retire next year. Peter, this gets us back to one of the pitfalls of deciding when to retire, and that is the stuff that you don't think about, like one of the kids moving back or one of the kids losing a job, and not that that is completely up to you to fix that scenario. But in this listener's question, they had the means to help. They helped, and now they're wondering if they can still go ahead and retire. That question kind of breaks my heart.
You know what? Believe it or not, this is actually one of the questions that we ask when we first meet somebody, and we talk about the independence of the children.
Yeah.
Because this is something that's pretty common. Believe it or not, it's pretty common. But yes, so if you're looking to retire and now you do have children coming back to live with you, we have to have a different kind of a conversation now,
right?
Because this could be an expense that you weren't planning for, especially if you're thinking about downsizing.
Right,
right.
Moving,
you know?
That's maybe why you should downsize, so they can't move back in.
So absolutely. But it's just because this is happening, I would not think the plan should continue to be in place. We need to make some small tweaks, some adjustments, deeper conversations here, a more serious conversation with the children, having to sit down and talk with them and tell them what your thoughts are. Obviously we know everyone loves each other,
right?
But at the same time, we're talking about the rest of your life, you know? And if someone's younger, it's probably easier for them to get a job, you know, might not be the job that they always wanted, but it's something to bring an income for them, just so you could have a successful, you know, stress-free retirement that you would always dreamed of.
All right. Mailbag question number, are we on 5? Are we on 6? We're rocking and rolling here. This says, Peter, I've been hearing a lot about the Roth IRA. What do you tell your clients about the traditional IRA versus the Roth, and is one better than the other?
Traditional IRA versus the Roth. So is it better than the other? Well, yes and no. So a traditional IRA, remember, this is more of a tax deduction, right? So this, you get a nice little write-off at the end of the year, and you need to deduct it from your taxes as income. But in the future, you're going to have to take out required minimum distributions and pay the taxes on the money you take out. So it goes towards your income, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Roth IRA, it's a beautiful thing. You don't get a tax deduction, but guess what? You do not have required minimum distributions. So you're now in control versus Uncle Sam. The money you make as earnings and growth, all tax-free. The money you take out for future income, if needed, all tax-free. Money going to your inheritance, you know, your beneficiaries, all tax-free. So I love Roth IRAs. I love Roth IRAs. But, you know, sometimes people are a little late to the game, and that's okay. There's pros and cons through both sides. A lot of Roth IRA contributions, those who make too much money, obviously can have it, but you can always convert a portion of it every year, so it's different. So I like it. Yes and no. It makes sense for those who have some time on their side. But if you happen to be 59 and a half, jump on the Roth conversation because I think it's really going to help you before you hit 72.
Final question, Peter. I love this one. I am about to retire, and I'm wondering, do I pay off my home? That is a big question you guys get all the time. Is that good debt? Is that bad debt? Does it make sense to keep it around if you got a lower payment?
I love that debt. I love that debt.
And you love the house debt.
I love some of that debt.
Because I got it.
Now, yes, if you're telling me, Peter, I got the highest possible mortgage rate in the world,
right.
Okay, this is a different conversation.
Yeah, now
right?
is not the time to refinance.
Yeah, I don't think so. But if you have a pretty decent rate and most of your payments are going more towards the principal versus the interest rate, obviously, you know, what do you think the better answer there is, right? So this is good debt. I mean, this could be good debt. And especially if you're making more money in other areas, this also could be really good debt. Think about it. You have all this money in there,
yep.
All this equity. What is it doing for you? You know, how are you making your money on it? It just sits there and it just eventually grows if you want to sell the house. Okay. So if you ever speak to a really, really good real estate investor, I would bet you most of all of their real estate have some kind of small loan on it, some kind of mortgage on it, because they love this kind of debt. Now, the perfect world is what? You pay off all your debt, right? Of course. We want to get rid of as much debt as possible, especially credit card debt.
Yes, but there's good debt and there's bad debt.
There's good and bad debt, but real estate debt doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Now, I know a lot of you are listening and saying to me, wait a minute, what's this guy Peter talking about? It? Look, everybody's different, right? Yeah, everyone's different.
Which is why you need to call.
That's it. Call me. We could talk about your kind of debt.
I'll
tell you if it's good or bad. That's
1-800. That's an easy question. 1-800-880-8079. 1-800-880-8079. We're always on the web, pcbfinancial.com. Peter, it is always a joy and a pleasure, and we look forward to speaking with you next week on Modern Money with Peter Bambara, everybody. Make it a great week. Thanks, Peter.
Take care. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Modern Money with Peter Bambara. If you have any questions that come to mind, Peter would be happy to answer them. Just give him a call. 1-800-880-8079. That's 1-800-880-8079.
Investment advisory services offered through PCB Capital, LLC. Insurance products offered through PCB Financial Advisory Group, LLC. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. PCB Financial Advisory Group is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by PCB Financial Advisory Group. This radio show is a paid placement.